Morning. Welcome, everybody. All of you watching online all over the world, welcome. We are continuing this series, as Mo said, in the book of James. Today, I'm going to cover all of chapter 3. We'll get it done. It's all good, kind of. And we're going to cover chapter 3 of the book of James, which is something's missing because there's a gap. There's a gap between our conviction and our commitment, a gap between our invisible faith and our visible faith, a gap between our beliefs and our behaviors. There's a gap. And James leans in to these people at this time with some really, really direct teaching, direct talking, direct application. That's where we are. And today we're going to do the same. And today I've entitled today's message, Fire Starters. There's two kinds of fire starters when it comes to people. There's those who get a burning fire within them for things that are right and godly and just, and they become a fire starter and they bring about great change. And then there's the other kind of fire starters. Those who cause a fire due to their carelessness. Those who, as a result of what they say, brings about a fire which can often leave devastation, brings hurt, brings pain, brings difficulty. And that's where we're going to go today, because James is talking about that kind of fire starter. Today's a little heavy, but in sometimes it's a good thing, a really good thing. So I'm going to go through James chapter 3. Sometimes it'll be a reference on screen. Sometimes it'll be the full text. If it's the full text, it's because I'm going to lean into it a bit more. The reference is there for your benefit. Here we go, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, my brothers, my brothers. Don't forget his tone. It's my brothers. It's friends. They're his people. We're family. It's the church. It's because he cares. It's like, come on, guys. Now, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's great. But you need to know that. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. I covered that at week one of this series, so let's carry on. His context now is reminding people of what he talked about even in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 19 said, hey, we should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen to what, though? Quick to listen. When we want to hear information, we go to God first. Quick to listen to his word. Quick to listen to what God says. Then, having listened, we then can then be slow to speak. But also, verse 26 and 27 of James 1. It says this, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You've got all this belief, he's saying, but if you don't keep a tight rein on this, it's worthless. It's dead. It's awful. It's damaging. And James leans into a whole chapter on this in chapter 3, but he's already teed it up in chapter 1. If you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, your religion is dead, and he defines what really is religion. Let me just define what James says. He paraphrases orphans and widows and those in distress because this is a recurring theme from the Torah all through the Old Testament, God's teaching his people, all the way through that Jesus repeated it, and that is this. Our role when it comes to pure religion and true fasting and true living religion in this sense, I live under the reign and rule of my King. In that sense, it's not a rule keeping. I live under his rule. Not me just keeping rules. He is king. He is Lord. I live in reflection of who I live for. Now, with that in mind, he defines what really is this true religion. At the end of the day, it's the marginalized, the weak, the lonely, those in distress, the orphan, the widow, the Old Testament talks about it, the immigrant, all these different people, the refugee, these are defined in the scriptures. That is what it is to live this pure and faultless religion. Notice that. James is repeating it. Jesus said it as well. So let me just say this to you super quick. For those of you who are old enough and have that freedom, you have to vote on Tuesday. You have to vote. You have to take that freedom, that democracy, because here's what happens. If people start not voting, you are going to violate the freedom that you've already been given to vote. And so I don't trust the democratic system, that's a terrible place to be. All over the world, there are many, many nations who wish they had the freedom of democracy that you've got. And so you have to vote. But with that in mind, let me just lean in and say this. This isn't just a flippant thing and just, this is what I always do. What's really important is you actually go before the Lord with this. And you pray. And you listen in your praying. And say, Lord, I'm going to go and maybe you've already done it. I'm going to complete some ballots and put my mark next to the people who I feel I should be voting for. But go before the Lord with that. Do the work, do the learning, do the research, and go before the Lord with that. And pray. And go, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put all political party persuasion to one side and listen to you. Some of you just freaked out when I said that. I'm going to listen to you and trust you. I'm going to do the work because this is an honor. This is a freedom that I have, and I'm not going to take it lightly. And I'm going to do the work. I'm going to go and put my mark on those ballots where I feel the Lord has asked me to put them. Guess what's going to happen? Just to make this clear. In this room and over all of our services today, that will mean there'll be people who will put a ballot next to one name and you'll be putting it next to the other. And you both prayed about it. How weird. Do you trust God or not, though? Exercise in dialogue with him. And so I just want you to do that work, noting full well. And when people say, but I want to vote with biblical values, understand what that means. Understand what it means. We just defined what that means. We really have. So you've got to go, okay, Lord, where are these people on the issues that are close to your heart? And guess what will happen? It won't be a clear, easy answer. Because there'll be some will be yes, and some will be no, and some will be no, and some will be yes. But go before the Lord and exercise the freedom to vote. That's all I'm saying. Do it. Vote. Vote. If you've not already, vote. Trust God, but vote. Enough of that. Here we go. What is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who is learning the words of Jesus. That's how you listen. Learn the words of Jesus. Living the ways of Jesus and loving like Jesus. Learn, live, love. I'll say this to my grave. Learn, live, love. Am I learning his words? Am I living his ways? Am I loving like him? This third one is the one that James was leaning into because, hey, you say you're learning his words, but the way you're living and the way you're loving don't match those words. So he calls them up, he calls them out, he leans in and says, this is really important. So verse 3 and 4 of chapter 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. He's giving a visual illustration. Big animal horse, small bit in mouth, we can direct it. He's leaning in and saying, the words you speak set the course and direction of your life. What comes from your tongue sets the course and direction from your life. Here's a big ship. And even in those days, there were big ships, but not as big as today's ships. We have massive ships today, still a small rudder. this small thing, and James is going in and saying, hey, this powerful, this small thing, which is the tongue he's going to talk about, is powerful, and how it operates and what it produces sets the course and direction of your life. And not just your life, affects other people's lives as well. So we continue. And he turns the heat up, literally. He cranks the intensity, he leans in and he goes, this is so important. Why? Because quite clearly, he was seeing the negative effect of the tongue in the churches. Otherwise, why speak about it? He's wanting to course correct the people who are following Jesus, and the same is of us today. James 3, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Okay, James. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Those two verses, the power of the tongue, bringing devastation, destruction, division, damage. Have you seen that happen? Have you been on the receiving end of lazy tongue, loose tongue, divisive tongue, flame-throwing tongue? Have you been on the receiving end of that? And some of you are still carrying the scars. Some of you can still show the wounds. Some of you have heard words in your life and they still echo in your brain all the time. Some of you have heard words in your life and it's still holding you back from your destiny. Some of you have heard those curses that had said things to you, and you're living by those words that were said in you and over you. And they've set your life negatively on a course that is not life-bringing. On the flip side, some of you have said words that have caused fires. You've said words that have brought devastation. You've said words that have hurt. You've said words that have caused division. You've said words that are so negative that it's demoralized people. You've said words that have lifted all the hope out of someone's being. You've said words that have been so accusatory, you may as well be calling them demonic. You've said words that are so fueled with hatred towards somebody else that you've lost sight that they're made in the image of God. James is revealing this. It's really a huge deal. It's easy for me to go, oh, so if you've received the words, let's do something about it. And we will today. But James is not necessarily talking about those who've received them. He's talking to all of us saying, stop delivering them. Stop delivering them in every sphere of your life, especially in our households in the church. Especially. I think that's what the season we're in as a nation, the aggression and the anger towards and the venom and the demoralizing and the dehumanizing talk has become acceptable now. Not to the Lord, it's not. James leans in and it's like a fire. See, he said, what a small spark sets a whole forest on fire. Let me talk to you about fires and a small spark. There's been great fires throughout the world in human history. And even Arizona every year suffers the devastation of bushfires and forest fires. I understand all that. It's very true. It's very real. And you look at the cause, and sometimes it's a tiny little thing. Some of you know I like history. Even in school, I enjoyed history, and we would do different things. And I recall this one. I remember learning about the Great Fire of London. 1666. It's almost like there's a one in the mark of the beast, 666. It was bad. I'm like, oh, interesting. 1666, September of 1666, London had this great fire. London was then a medieval city. It had been a Roman walled city, a medieval city in that 17th century. And a fire was so devastating across London, over 32,000 houses were burned to the ground. Over 32,000 houses were destroyed. Over 87 churches destroyed. Part of that devastation included St. Paul's Cathedral, other major civic buildings destroyed. The fire raged for 5 days. And then in research, they wanted to try and find out afterwards what caused this fire. Now, as far as we know, history would show that it traces back to Tom Farrier, and he was the king's baker. And the king's baker had his own bakery. Wait for where it was. The bakery was on Pudding Lane. That's where the bakery was, on Pudding Lane. How apt. And here's this king's baker who knows, but on one occasion, that one night, he didn't fully extinguish the ovens. Wood-filled, that's how the fuel was. He didn't fully extinguish the ovens, and a spark had flown from one of his ovens and hit the fuel source, the fuel pile, and thus ignited all of that, starting a fire in the bakery and the ovens, and it spread super quick. One small, tiny spark, because they didn't extinguish all the flames. And our words, if we don't extinguish them when we see somebody throwing some sparks, will cause a devastation we may not have intended, but it still happens the same way. It happens the same way. James continues, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Yes. And with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Let me just say what this means. We can praise God and we should praise the Lord. We should let them, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Yes, we can praise the Lord, but we also curse men. And James wants to know, every time we pull somebody else down, every time we're accusatory, every time we go something that we have a strong opinion on, every time we do that, we hurt God. Well, no, because those people are made in his likeness. The moment we start dehumanizing and deifying humankind, we miss it. And James is saying, we can praise the Lord all we like, but when we curse men, we pull them down. They're made in God's likeness. What has happened to us? And then he goes on to say this, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And here's the line that's so amazing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt springs produce fresh water. How apt, salty talk. How apt. But my brothers, this should not be. This hit me this week real hard. Real hard. And I thought, I need to be quick to listen before I carry on speaking right now. Be quick to listen. And in doing so, the Lord's good. He revealed something to me. And as a result of which, I need to change posture. This was intentional. I'm going to change posture. I can't talk to you about this and in a preaching style, because I don't trust myself. I need to guard my tongue. But I do feel, friends, we need a family fireside chat about this. Many of you are wondering, so in terms of quick to listen, what do you go to in the Word every single day? Well, there's always this thing you've always got available to you. What's the date? Go to a proverb of that date, that So I was preparing and I thought, what's Sunday going to be? That will be the 6th. So I opened Proverbs 6, only to be arrested by a text that I know a lot about that was first revealed to me in a direct way in 2002, 02-03. And when it was taught me, I was like, I'd never read that before. I'd never understood it before, and it stuck with me. And it's not an easy subject that I would then preach about. I don't think I've ever really preached it. But I think it's a fireside chat subject. When it comes to my brothers, this should not be. The way we're talking is we've seen fires throughout Christendom. We've seen fires in Grace Community Church. You've seen fires in your households. You've seen fires in your dorm rooms. You've seen fires in the workplace. Somebody threw a spark. And none of us are immune to that skill. And so let me read the text. I've got two scriptures that the Lord pressed upon me for us to talk about. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. It's on the screen. And this is really interesting. You want to be quick to listen. Listen to the wisdom of God. Listen to this. There are six things the Lord hates. Already, I hope it's got your attention. Six things the Lord hates. Now listen to the list, because you may have your list and you'll find this isn't it. But there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. What's that, you ask? Arrogance, looking down on other people, a sense of superiority complex. I know more. I've been around more. You should listen to my opinion. You should know me. What do they know? We're better than you. Haughty eyes. Because that isn't the ways of Jesus. Did Jesus look with haughty eyes on Zacchaeus? Did Jesus look with haughty eyes on the woman caught in adultery? Did Jesus look with haughty eyes? No. Haughty eyes. Next, here we go. A lying tongue. Oh, it's already here. A lying tongue. Can I just say this one as well? Just a bit of a heads up. A lying tongue is not always as you think, oh, this is horrific, you know, this forked tongue. A lying tongue is this. Some of you are declaring lies about your identity. You're wearing certain words as a badge. My life is so busy. Look at everything I do. That's both haughty and lying. No, but it's busy. Come on now. Some of you have put badges of behaviors on you and justified them. And you feel comfortable with them. It's a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, my eyes, my mouth flows to my actions. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Jump on the bandwagon, join them, they're all doing this. A false witness who pours out lies. You're saying things about somebody else or another situation. May not be in a law court, but you're a false witness. Oh yeah, I've seen that, I've heard that. A false witness who pours out lies. There's six things. And then he adds the seventh, and all of these six he hates, seven that are detestable. My king hates these things, and my king finds them detestable. And there's a bunch of things I think would have been on the list, but they're not. And here's number seven. A man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A little bit divisive. Let's create sides. Let's pull some people down. Let's point the finger. Let's get a few people agreeing with me. And throughout Christendom, we've seen division upon division upon division in the church. And Jesus in John 17 prayed for unity. Jesus prayed for unity. And James sees what's going on and he goes, enough. The scriptures are all talk about our words so powerfully. And here's a list of things that God hates and finds detestable. And my prayer is that we take on board these things and we find them detestable as well. My prayer is that as I have this little fireside chat with you, you leave here today with a fire extinguisher. And when you hear things that start to spark this, shut up. And when it's going in your heart and it's about to come out of your mouth, shut up. Because a small spark causes extreme devastation. Maybe you've seen it in your marriages. Maybe you've seen it in your kids, in your friends, and it's been very prevalent in the church. If you were to identify all the wounds on the backs of me and my wife, they all come from the church, all of them. And some people, I'm just giving my opinion, freedom of speech. I'd rather listen to what my king says is detestable to him and honor him and not cause him to look at me and think, Des, I've told you I find that detestable. You don't know what that little spark is going to do in division. There's been more damage caused in people's lives by the power of the tongue than any other thing in human history. Words spoken, very hard to take back. That's why some of you are sitting right here today with those words echoing through your mind still, and it affects you. But I need us to realize that some of you, we need to look at this and guard your tongue, man, because it's devastating. Devastating. What does that look like? Let me give you some examples. I can only talk from experiences, okay? That's why it's a fireside chat. This is what I see. This is what I hear. Some of it is what I've seen. Some of it's what I have heard. Some of it, I confess, I've been the deliverer of. And that's this. Whenever you hear somebody else pull somebody down for their opinion or a thought, you ask straight away, so have you had a one-to-one conversation with that person then? Do you know that is true for sure? Are you sure? Have you really thought down what's the intentionality about that and the cause and the why? Have you really done that work? 99 times out of 100, you're not, you're lazy. Because that's not fun. You'd rather just make a conclusion, jump to a conclusion, jump to an opinion, jump to a subjective experience and go, yeah, this is what it is. But you'd rather spew that to other people and give them your opinion. That's haughty eyes and a lying tongue. And it's causing dissension among the brothers. When anybody starts to talk about a leader in this church, about what they're doing and how they're leading it, or previous leaders about what they're doing and how they're leading it, and you give your opinion, shut up. Because you're called to pray for them. And you're called to support and encourage them. And unless you've had a one-to-one, deep, understanding, rich conversation with them, and even if you have then, you still should shut up and pray and support. Accusations, I don't like this, they do this, they should be doing this, they should be doing that, why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing the other? Guess what that does every single time? It's a word of negativity, it's the opposite of encouragement. Oh, but they need to know I'm correcting them. Who told you? Who gave you that badge? The elders are given that responsibility, not you. Oh, what are you saying? So I can't bring my own opinion and my correction? You absolutely can. You make an appointment with that leader and you sit down one-on-one and have the conversation. Because Jesus told us how to do this in Matthew 18. Oh, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus said you go to that person one-on-one and you talk to them. And if they don't listen to you, by all means, go and take somebody else as a witness. And if they still don't listen to you, by all means, go to the elders. There's some steps. But you don't want to take them steps because it's too difficult. You'd rather just talk about it with other people. Or go to another person, talk bad about other people, and that person's hearing it and it's deflating them. And it might not be about them, but it's about people they care for. And that's demoralizing and discouraging. And then you get the silent type who just walk away and leave and never say anything. That's causing dissension among the brothers. No, I went quietly. No, you didn't. You protested. Because if you cared, you'd have a conversation. And this is what and this is why. And we as this particular church, our elders and our staff leaders are awesome. And every single one of them would sacrifice time to speak with you. Every single one of them. It's what we do. But I've seen centuries of division in the church. And it makes you wonder, why did that happen? I wonder if they just did what God said. I wonder if they just heard what James is saying. They'd heard what Jesus was saying. They've heard what Paul is saying, which I'll get to in a minute. And they'd heard what King Solomon was saying in Proverbs. They'd heard what the psalmist was saying. I wonder if we just live that way, we may see a different outcome. I know we'd see a different outcome. I know we would. Listen, you're allowed your opinion. Keep it to yourself. Some of you, though, I need to vent. I get it. I get it. I need to get it off my chest. I need to get it because I'm just going to explode. Here's the tip. You need to identify in your life who is your lightning rod. A lightning rod is when lightning hits it, it grounds it, earths it, stops it causing any damage. Find who your lightning rod is that you can, if you want, vomit on and find it grounded and not go any further. This sounds really harsh right now, but just to help you understand, I vomit on my wife because it's better than vomiting on some of you. But she doesn't go and pass on the vomit. So some of you are like, oh, I'll be a lightning rod. Give me the information. I'll be your lightning rod. There. No, a lightning rod hears it and goes, so, okay, we've got it. Shut up. Get it out. Okay. The Bible talks about gossip being like choice morsels, delicacies. So interesting. Stop it. You may think it's a nothing, but it is a something. Too many times I've had to pick up some of my staff off the floor because some of you have not kept your mouth shut. Too many times I've had to pick up my wife off the floor because you talk. Too many times I've had to see my brothers who are in ministry quit in ministry because people talked. And it devastated not just that man, but his marriage and his family and the legacy of the kids where we hate the church. That's the bride of Christ. Do you think the enemy's going, thank you very much? So shut your mouth. Or at best, have a filter. And play a role in putting out the little sparks. Go, whoa, 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 we need to stop now, don't we? We need to stop. We need to stop. Play a role. We exist to be firefighters, not fire starters. I think some of us today have got some confessing to do, some repenting to do, some asking for forgiveness. Some of you need some cleansing from the experience of words hit on you. Yes, you do as well. We'll get to that at the end today. But this is the most devastating thing in the world. And I'm not just talking about what we speak out of our mouth. I'm talking about this one and this one. I mean, James was a little bit blessed. He only had this one. We got all these different ones now. Oh, I agree with that. Repost. Wah! Repost. Wah! really? The venom that comes out in within the realm of Christianity? Christians coming out and vomiting hatred on any other human? Any other human? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's the Jesus way, by the way. Brothers, this should not be. Ephesians 4, 29. So what Paul has to say. To a church in Ephesus that was pretty known for its talking, the goddess Artemis, the multi-breasted goddess in that city and all that was there, and there was a lot of talk and tittle-tattle going on, and then he comes in and he goes, guys, we're followers of Jesus now. We're to learn his words, live his ways, and love like him. So Ephesians 4, 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Some of you hear that. Yeah, I'm saying this because it's for their benefit. They need to know I'm right. They need to hear my opinion. I'm doing it because I care, and I want them to know this is right. Well, there's best ways and good ways of doing that you care. And it isn't talking about somebody else and pulling them down and accusing them. But don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. I did some work on this and understanding and what it really means. It means unwholesome. This isn't a matter of salvation I'm going to talk about. This isn't a matter of maybe you think, you know, losing your salvation or not. This isn't a matter of any of that, but it is a matter of having a tongue that may the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, oh God. Is it right to be a follower of Jesus and have foul mouths? Have you excused your cussing and your cursing as everybody else does it? It's no big deal, Des. Yeah, it is. Are our words like the fragrance of Jesus or the pit of hell? I'm not just talking their attitudes towards other people that come out, but I'm talking just your own dialect. Have you become a lazy talker? A loose talker? I'll go as far to say the flippancy of the OMG. Oh, what's wrong with that? No, do you hear what you're saying? He's my king. And there are six things that he hates and seven that are detestable. I want to honor my king. I want to point other people to my king. Ah, yeah, but you know, it's kind of all right. It's cultural. Is it? Or is it just lazy? Unwholesome talk is when you're just talking bad about other people. It's unwholesome. Grabbing into gossip, it's unwholesome. Pulling people down, it's unwholesome. And I'm sitting down today because clearly there's a 6-foot mirror right in front of me. This is heavy. It's heavy. So here's the filter that is a biblical principle that we can all hopefully take on board and apply. We can carry it as a fire extinguisher. We can look at it in a mirror. We can go before the Lord and say, cleanse this. And it's this. Is what you're about to say about somebody else true? Not your version of truth. True. How do you know it's true? Because you have had a deep one-on-one in-depth understanding of that situation. Your truth source isn't an online warrior. Your truth source is direct. Is it true what I'm really going to say to this person, or if I've said it to this person, applying Matthew 18? For the most part, that will shut you up. Okay, no, not sure. If in doubt, keep it out. Next, if it is true, is it kind? Is it kind? Oh, that sounds a bit weak, Des. We need some straight talking.
freedom of speech is.
Learn from Jesus, live like Jesus, love like Jesus. Is it kind? When Jesus met the woman at the well, he spoke truth. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're on husband number five. In fact, the guy you're with now isn't even your husband. True. But what did he follow it up with? Kindness. And is it, if it's not true, he's not kind, done. Is it helpful?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's always. Of course it's helpful. Because I'm brilliant.
They need to know this. It's a warning so they don't make the same mistake. How you deliver it is everything. Because the scriptures would say, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, not your ego, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me just share this with you. In 2002, and I'll say his name, I don't know if he's going to listen to this message or not. He's not here. 2002, I was in England, and I had some interns, and we were doing discipleship with them, and I called upon another guy who was actually an American going to our church, who was really knowledgeable, to help with biblical teaching in that. And one day he taught Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. And I'd like, what? And the way he taught it was very true, very kind, and very helpful. He was course correcting. He was bringing things to our attention. Thanks, Terry Willett. You have no clue who he is. If he ever listens to this, here we are, dude, 20 years on. I'm finally talking about it. Helpful means helpful. It took me 20 years. So is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? If it's not, shut up. In Jesus' name. And I mean that. I mean that. Let's close out this chapter. I'm exhausted right now. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 18, he then says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, because peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. How does righteousness come? Peacemakers who sow in peace. Oh, but Des, I don't like that. Get over it. Jesus said it, and I believe it. He's my king. He's the creator of the universe. He's the only one who loves me so much to die for me. He calls me a child of God, no longer a sinner, but simply a saint who is battling with sin. He says it. I believe it. I should live that way. Something's missing. So start with me. So Thursday, I was about to close this out. And in the side of my notes, a question came, Des, does King Jesus have your tongue? But I surrendered my whole life to Jesus. We have to break it down sometimes, don't we? We have to break it down. I'll give my whole life to Jesus. Let's break it down. Des, do I have your tongue? That's a daily decision. So I close with this today. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, I pray is your daily prayer for you this week. By the way, you want to know the most important day in November? It's tomorrow night in here. we pray tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, is the most important gathering of the month, without doubt. To sit in his presence, to pray, to have time to confess and repent, to have time to cry out to the Lord, to have time to worship him, to have time to sit in his presence with his people. Whatever your plans are tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, they're wrong if they're not in here. Really important. And what a great way to step into in responding to this message, to live it out. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4. I could have picked many scriptures about the power of our words, but I wanted to go to one that was unbelievably clear. It says this: set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. It's all to do with words, because that's where the fire gets started. So Lord, would you set a guard over my mouth? True, kind, helpful. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And so today's response is simple. I want to give you three. I want to invite now, right now, would our elders and prayer partners come down front, especially across this middle area, be available. Make your way down now. In prayer response time this morning is this. Number one, some of you have experienced the devastation of words, and as a result of which, you still feel trapped, wounded, stuck. That's become almost a theme. Some of you have grabbed hold of a word that actually isn't a healthy one, and you've put that as a label on yourself, the power of words. Oh, because I have this, I therefore cannot do this. And you've decided to grab your identity in a word rather than in Jesus. So those who are experienced and are feeling trapped and all those things connected to the power of words, you need to come out today for prayer. And I'll say it, so we can break that curse. Because my King has the words of life, not death. The words of hope and grace and freedom. And so if that is you, come down front so we can pray with you in that journey. Secondly, there are some of you today who you know you've done your fair share of starting fires. Here's the good news. We all have. But for some of you, you know the Lord's saying, that's what I want you to confess and repent today. And repentance is returning back to the Father. And his arms are wide open and they're loving. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. King Jesus, sanitize, sanctify, redeem, and purify my tongue. Of words past, present, and future. For some of you, you're coming out today and that's what it is. You don't have to say to the prayer partner what it is. You just come and go, will you pray with me to purify my tongue from what it's done? And for some of you, that also may be you need to go and ask forgiveness today. And thirdly, you'll never have a right tongue until the King is your King. So surrender your whole life to him. For some of you, you've drifted away. Come back to Jesus today. For some of you, you've never given your whole life to Jesus. And today's the day. Come down front and go, yes, because he loves you so much. He died for you, but he didn't just stay dead. He paid for your sin. He became alive so you could have life in all its fullness. The kingdom of heaven coursing and running through your very veins. The Holy Spirit dwelling within you for life today in all its fullness and for all eternity. And that's where you go and you come out for that today. Our closing song today is one we've never done on a Sunday morning here. It's been a theme for me in recent months because it's called King Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning, you can stay seated. You can get out your seat and get a kneeler and go kneel down. Absolutely come out to a prayer partner when you can stand. Search my heart, oh God, know my thoughts. see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's the end of Psalm 139. Sit in that today. King Jesus, I give my life to you again today. May my words be true. May my words be kind. May my words be helpful. Lord, may we be a people who put out fires before they cause devastation. May we be a people who don't start fires that would cause devastation. Would you come and would you cleanse my tongue? Purify my heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Lord, may we be a people who quite literally reverse the curse of words spoken. May we be a people who lead with love because we've learned your words, we live your ways, and we want to love like you love. In Jesus' name, amen.